bbsradio.com.
Good evening. This is Elaine Ireland. We're going global for Spirit on bbsradio.com. We're the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. Yes, that's a lot to say. Go ahead and get a pencil and a piece of paper, and I'll give you some phone numbers in a moment for you to call in. Because this is a call-in show, we do not have any commercials or anything like that, so we have 55 minutes of uninterrupted fun. Tonight we have Kate back with us, Kate Brown. She is, we're going to talk about spring, correct me, equinox?
Yes.
Well, I saw the word vernal in there, and I went, "What? How should I say that in its correct order?"
Well,
you say it in vernal, correct order.
Vernal just is another word for spring.
Okay.
Comes from the same root as, you know, green.
Oh, that's right, verde, vernal.
Chile verde.
Yeah, there you go. Plus, we're from Texas, so verde is green around here.
Yeah.
Glad you're back with us. It's spring, and I'm a little heady, and I'm a little giddy, and it's just fun to be outside right now. Here in Austin, we have some beautiful weather after some heavy spring rain, so everything just seems to be perfect with nature today. It's gorgeous. Kate, thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, it's always fun. You know that.
We have, Kate is a practicing psychic and a teacher, and dabbles in all kinds of fun things that she can tell us about in a little while. She has some things that she wants to talk with us about besides spring equinox, and we'll do that. And yes, we've got the Metaphysical Fair coming up. And what hotel is it at? I always forget the name of the new name of that hotel.
The Radisson Hotel.
Radisson.
Yeah. And the address is 6000 Middle Fiskville Road, which is between Highland Mall and Lincoln Village.
And I right off of I-30 phone. It's really fairly easy to find. Lots of parking. And it's on April, it's a two-day fair, Saturday and Sunday, on April
11th. 12th and 13th.
13th. Are you going to be doing any lectures this time?
No.
I'm going to get you doing lectures.
Well, in the past, when I did lectures, not many people showed up. And I have my informal classes class that I teach, and I get to talk a lot there.
Oh, okay. Where do you teach your classes?
The next class is in April, the 2nd, 9th, and 16th. And if anybody is interested in signing up for that class, you have to do it through UT, through the informal classes program, and you can do it online. And I have no idea how much it costs.
You know, you teaching for UT, that's pretty impressive, even if it's informal, what they call informal. I don't think there is such a thing as informal classes, but I guess technically that means it's not for credit, right?
Yeah.
Not for formal
credit. And informal classes meet in the evening, and they're more for fun. As you said, it's not so much getting your credit so you can get your degree. It's more about taking something for fun that you might not have done otherwise. So you can study tarot, you can study belly dancing, you know. there are a lot of possibilities in the catalog.
And what are you teaching?
I teach beginning tarot.
Okay.
And that means we just very basically look at 78 cards, the 10 positions in the Celtic cross layout, things relevant to that. As I tell the students, it's a lot of memory work, and we try to work in as much practice in class time as we can, and we have a lot of fun.
We're saying UT like everybody knows what in the world that is, but it's the University of Texas here in Austin.
Yes,
and
University of Texas at Austin, yes.
Okay, you can. I can't talk tonight. I'm sorry, world. You can learn online. There we go. Check them online as well. That's right. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes. I was going to give the phone numbers.
Do it.
Reminding people that Kate is a psychic, so please call in about our subject tonight, or if you have a question. She's a very good reader, but of course, like most really good psychics, she doesn't need the cards. But but they're fun to play with. Worldwide, that means any place except from the United States and Canada, you can call this number worldwide, 877-489-6350. And if you live in the United States or you live in Canada, you share a number, 1-888-228-4494. Remember, we are uninterrupted, so we just get to chit-chat and answer your questions and visit with you. You can call in with a comment or challenge us on a statement we make. I just would love to have the world reach us. Kate, where do you want to start tonight, sweetie?
Well, the Easter Bunny.
Okay, the Easter Bunny. I love it. Okay.
Well, one of the first things I think that people get curious about, and certainly a question I get asked a lot, is here is this metaphysical event, the spring equinox. Well, what does the Easter Bunny have to do with eggs, and what do rabbits and eggs have to do with springtime? It all goes back into the very, very, very long ago when gods and goddesses played a more important part in people's lives. And in particular, there was a goddess called Eostra. I think I'm pronouncing her correctly. I wouldn't swear to it. Eostra. And she was a goddess of the moon. She was a goddess of the dawn. She is a maiden goddess. And she had two symbols, and if she'd been the kind of person with a totem pole, these two symbols would have been carved on her totem pole, and they were the egg and the rabbit. And over time, what that morphed into was the Easter Bunny bringing everybody decorated eggs.
They had to be decorated, did they? Okay.
Well, you can decorate stuff because it's fun, because it's a way of focusing your energies. I mean, consider those gorgeous Fabergé eggs that were made for the Russian Imperial Court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just another way to bring beauty into your life, and you can put whatever import you want on the eggs. There's all kinds of rituals. There's one that says if you bury an egg in your garden on the spring equinox, that this is going to promote a better harvest.
Just a raw egg?
Raw or cooked.
Okay.
Then remember we've got the cascarones, which is your hollowed out eggshells that are then painted and decorated and filled with confetti, and you crack them on people's heads. You can do that too. But Eostra, in addition to having eggs and rabbits sacred to her, she also had a sweet tooth. And so people would bring her shrines offerings of sweet things. Well, way back in the long ago, it was mostly honey. Nowadays, we have chocolate.
Light and dark.
Light and dark, yes, indeed. And so you have chocolate Easter bunnies, and you have chocolate eggs. And they go in a basket, and it, like I said, it all goes back to Eostra. But yes, you share decorated eggs, you give people chocolate, and whether you realize it or not, you are celebrating in a very, very, very ancient tradition.
A pagan way.
Yeah.
Very pagan, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Isn't there folklore about the back in the American Indian Day, the pioneer days, about them telling the children that the fires and such that they saw on the mountaintops were the Easter bunnies cooking the eggs for the children, and it was really the Indians burning the villages or something?
That's new to me. I don't know. It sounds interesting. And certainly this is a fire festival because, yes, it's the equinox, which means that day and night are an equal amount of time. But we are also celebrating that the sun is growing stronger, so you want to have a fire somewhere. If you can have a bonfire, that's great. If you have a fireplace, you can fire it up. You can put a fire in your cauldron. You can get the Weber grill in the backyard and put a fire in that. But But fire is an important part of the equinox, yes.
The sun goes into Aries, which is the astrological new year, and it's all about new beginnings.
Yep.
Renewal, yeah. So that's part of that. With the sun, that's the fire sign. So that makes sense too now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and if we were a more agrarian society, if more of us were farmers, this would be the time of year when we would be plowing and planting. And that's another one of the things, the activities that you can do on this day is you can plant seeds. You can give, if you have guests coming over, you can give them a little teeny potted plant.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All significance of new growth, new life.
Yep. Yep. And I see it in my garden. Let me tell you, the rose by my front door is growing, and I have a big aloe vera plant also right by my front door, and it's making flowers, and this is the first time it ever has. It's been out there for like 20 years.
Is it one of and the ones that is called a century plant where they only do
No, not a century plant. This is your basic aloe vera where if the bacon grease bites you, you go and you pick off a leaf and rub the aloe on, and it gets better.
I think those are going to bloom yellow.
They're peach.
I think. Their ears are peach. I had yellow one.
Neat. I took a picture of it. It may never do it again in my lifetime, so I grabbed a camera and took a picture.
New growth. You know, I've been around several rental properties this week, and almost everyone that has aloe vera is blooming.
Interesting, because my backyard aloes are not blooming at all.
Wonder what it is.
Maybe they have to get to a certain size. Maybe they have to get to a certain age. I have no idea.
I know there's one that blooms every 7 years, and one that's called a century plant, and they get really big, and their stalks get really tall, and their blooms are like 3 feet high. I mean, they're huge.
Yes, and I have seen those here and there, you know, driving around. My aloe is nothing like that. It's pretty. It's pretty, and when the films get developed, I'll show you the picture.
Well, maybe we can put it on your new website.
Maybe so. If I can figure out how to get the image imported into my computer so I can move it from there to
well,
the
we
new
both
site.
We both know geeks. We can figure that out. She has a new website. So tell us your website name.
Okay. It's www.tarotbykateinaustin.com.
Tarot, T-A-R-O-T, by Kate, K-A-T-E.
In Austin.
In Austin.com.
Yeah. And Tarot by Kate in Austin, you put in all is one word with no spaces.
Tell us your phone numbers you would prefer to be reached at while people are writing that down.
To make an appointment, you mean?
Sure.
Yeah, 512-454-2293. And I will also say about this website, tarotbykateinaustin.com, it is still under construction. The older website doesn't get shut down until midnight, March the 31st. What I have up on the Tarot by Kate in Austin website, I've got all the text up. I haven't gotten things arranged quite the way I want them yet. There's some images of my smiling face up, but not as many as there will be. It is still a work in progress, but it's there and it's functioning, and you can see where I'm going to be when and things like that. And if anybody goes and visits that site, if you have any suggestions for how I can make it look nicer, send me an email at kate_brown2000@yahoo.com. And now I'm going to spell
your last name.
And now I'm going to spell that. K-A-T-E _BRAUN 2000@yahoo.com. I would be happy to have suggestions for how I can make this new site look better. But I will tell you this, I am working with GoDaddy's templates, and so I am, you know, going to be limited by what they give me to work with. So don't talk about images that move. I don't think I can do that.
I can't do that on mine either. Don't worry about it. I am serious about getting a section on my site to put pictures of sci fairs and events and other people's events and people and where we go and what we do. I think that's fun. We need to share that with the world.
Yep, and I know there's a way to do it, because Midnight at Ancient Mysteries also uses GoDaddy, and she has images put up of what she has in her shop. So I know it's possible. It's just a matter of figuring out what you have to do to make it happen.
GoDaddy people would probably help you with that.
I'm sure they would. They seem to be very nice people.
What's more about, one of the things that I read about the Equinox thing, I love it when you come on because it makes me read about it. Passover honors when the Jews were passed over and not killed, and its celebration every year is linked to the phases of the moon and sun.
Yep.
As the moon, it begins on the first full moon after the spring equinox, which is when the original Passover of the sun crossing over the equator was acknowledged by the ancients. Before Judaism existed, the sun creates a sign of the cross in its movement from the eastern node.
Interesting.
I didn't know that. I had not a clue.
Well, I knew Easter was a movable feast. Okay.
Yeah.
Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. So the equinox is tomorrow, the full moon is Friday, and Easter is Sunday the 23rd.
That's how they do that. I knew it moved, but I had no clue.
It's all connected to phases of the moon. And remember, Eostra is a moon goddess, so she's somewhat responsible for this. And since I said full moon, for our listeners who, to whatever degree, practice any kind of magic, if you make oils for magical purposes, particularly for prosperity, please remember to recharge them with the light of the full moon on Friday night.
I have some oils around the house.
I've blended up a prosperity oil for several years now. And just, you know, you rub it on the soles of your feet, you rub it on your palms, you rub it around your belly, and then you smell good and you go off to the fair and hopefully come home with lots of money.
And having met lots of nice people, always.
Yes. But it helps to recharge the oils with the full moon energy.
We used to put our crystals outside. I would gather up everything,
mm-hmm.
if not every month, every other month, and we'd put them in buckets outside or on a blanket out in the backyard where they wouldn't be disturbed, and let them stay for a full 24 to 48 hours in the full moon. And they love rainstorms. The more thunderous, the better.
Yep, that works too.
Yeah. I haven't done that since I've been here. I need to start that little ritual again. But I thought the sun creates a sign of the cross and its movement from the eastern node was really cool. And, of course, living in town, you know that's going to be hard to see.
Well, I don't know about that. I can usually spot the full moon from my backyard, but stars are just harder.
Mm-hmm.
There's all the city lights.
You know, where we live right now, it's hard for us. I can stand in the front yard or the backyard and see the sky on a clear night, and I can certainly see the moon, but it's real hard to see any event, this kind of event. It's real hard. You almost need a scope or be on a hilltop someplace. Let me give those phone numbers out again for folks to call in worldwide. 877-489-6350. If you live any place except the United States and Canada, and if you live in one of those two places, U.S. or Canada, your phone number is 1-888-228-4494. Kate is with us again this evening. We're talking about equinox energy, spring equinox energy, and whatever else you guys out there want to talk about. So call in. Let us hear from you. What else do you want to visit about tonight?
Well, you talking about quarters of things. I was reading through my literature earlier today to get focused on what we could talk about tonight. And another thing that you can do to celebrate the equinox is to cook and eat mooncakes. And what a mooncake is would be like a puffy cookie, and it's round. And what you do is before you bake it, you divide it. You take a knife to just make a cross on top. So after it's cooked, it looks like it's four quarters connected. Hot cross buns do the same thing, but you can also do it with cookies and then call them mooncakes.
You could hide a token inside.
Yes, you could do that too.
That would be very New Orleans style.
Well, another thing to consider when we're talking about the equinox is balance. As I said before, equinoxes are when the hours of daylight and darkness are the same. It's also a time when energies are balanced. Now, everybody tends to have masculine and feminine energies and attributes within themselves. Well, these energies balance on the equinox. And so it's a good time to take a little bit of time just to be quiet and commune with your soul and reflect on that balance. And, of course, if you want to balance an egg on its larger end and let that be a focus of your balancing meditation, you can do that, too.
Have you ever been able to do that? I've never been able to do that.
Oh, yes, I have.
I've tried several times.
I did it on one of the tiles that make my kitchen countertop. It was surprisingly easy.
Now you say that, make me feel bad. I don't know what several times I've tried and they never stand up.
Well, what it is you take the egg, you put it on its larger end, use just the tip of one finger to balance it. Don't hold it with all your fingers, just use one.
I'll try
and see if that makes a difference. Oh,
okay.
And talking about eggs, this is another fun thing. And again, it comes from the long ago. Alexander the Great was asked by Plutarch, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And Alexander replied that the Orphic mysteries teach that the egg is the origin of all things. Therefore, the egg came first. And Plutarch said that Alexander was right.
I think the kicker in that comment is that we are taught that it is.
Yeah. I just thought that was an interesting piece of trivia.
I'll remember that one.
Okay. Well, trivia comes in many forms. I learned how to make vocal clicks by watching Jeopardy, and that turned out to be a good thing to know. Because one of the pieces of music Tapestry Singers is doing in the spring concert involves making clicks, that kind of sound.
Mm-hmm. There's an Aborigine back folks that's how they talk.
Yeah.
When is the concert?
The Tapestry Singers' final concert of our 20th anniversary season this year will be April the 26th, 2008, at Hope Presbyterian Church, which is 11512 Olson Drive. This is in the 183 and Anderson Mill area. The concert starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7. General admission is $12, with $8 for seniors and children, and those under 6 are free. And the theme is Pride and Prejudice. We're going to be singing things like African Celebration. That's the one with the clicks in it. Langston Hughes' I Dream a World is set to music. Another lovely piece is On Children, which is taking the words of Khalil Gibran and setting them to music.
Wonderful poet, wonderful storyteller.
Yes. It's some lovely music. It is fun to sing. It is challenging to sing. And this is what I do for fun. You know, I talk about balance, and I tell my clients, and I'm sure you do too, that you have to do things just for fun. You have to play, or you're not in balance. Well, one of the ways I play is to sing with tapestry singers, and it's just a lot of fun.
I don't know how you find time to do that with everything else you do.
Well, I just decided I needed to, so I make the time. It keeps me balanced. It keeps me sane. It lets me use my voice again to sing with, which I was away from for just way too long.
Well, I'm glad you do it.
Tapestry is a nice bunch of ladies, too.
You sent out an email some time ago about requesting volunteers. Do y'all still need volunteers for the
weekend? We still need what's called weavers. These are the behind-the-scenes people, because with concerts, there's more than just the tapestry ladies showing up and singing. We need people to organize the green room, set out the refreshments, take the tickets, serve as ushers, blah, 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 blah. And if anybody is interested in doing that, they should go to Tapestry's website, which is www.tapestrysingers.org. And again, I'm going to spell that. TAPESTRYSINGERS. And there'll be more information on that website about the concert, and there will be a way, if anyone is interested in helping out, to let Tapestry know, or if people want to let me know, send me an email or give me a phone call, and I can tell you more about it, and we can see what we can do to connect would-be volunteers with actual volunteering efforts.
I used to love to volunteer for things like that. I wish that was a date that I could...
Well, look at it this way. If you volunteer to help, you get to hear the concert for free.
Absolutely. It's just not a date that I can do it on. But hopefully in the future I'll be able to. I will be able to. Remember, you can find Kate for readings and for her other loves, teaching and so forth, in Austin, Texas. Tarot by Kate in Austin.com. Of course, www in front of that. And her number to call her for private sessions is area code 512-454-2293. She's also teaching informal classes at the University of Texas in April. You can go online and check that out, too. Do you have that information on your website as well, Kate?
I do on the GoDaddy site, the Tarot by Kate in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Since I can't enroll anybody, I can only mention it very peripherally.
Okay.
It has to do with the University of Texas rules and regulations and stuff like that.
Do you teach at the store, at Midnight Store, or do you teach
Ancient
out of your
Mysteries,
home? Or
no, no. The only place I teach is in informal classes.
Okay. All right, through the university. Okay.
Yeah.
What are two things that, besides finding balance in our lives at this time of the year and knowing that it's a new year, astrological new year when the sun does go into Aries, what is a core important lesson that we can learn from the spring equinox or the energy around the equinox?
Oh, that's a lovely question.
You know, it's difference between the spring and the fall equinox.
It comes down to renewal. It's about finding, first of all, the balance within ourselves, and then from that balance moving forward. So it's rebirth.
Okay. Those are really strong words: renewal, rebirth, and balance.
Yep.
There.
Yes.
Because so often when you're going through a renewal system or you're beginning something again, a rebirth, it's hard. That balance is possible to just disappear for a small period of time. You feel off balance when you're making changes.
And it's not only about finding balance, it's about then maintaining that balance.
Good point.
And it's tricky. It's really tricky. you learn by doing. Practice makes perfect. And if you don't get it right the first time, don't worry about it. Just try again and again and again, and sooner or later, it all comes together. But for me, the spring equinox is really, it's the new year. The roses are blooming. The grass is growing and needs to be mowed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
overnight.
You see the planet waking up, and so your soul wakes up too.
Whereas in the fall, we tend to close in.
Fall is when things are winding down, not unfolding. That's when you're preparing to contemplate, to meditate, to assess where you've been and think about what you want to do next. Okay? But spring, this is about, hey, taking those plans, those ideas, and going forward with them and doing stuff.
And this is a great year to do that. And I'm not an astrologer, but I talked to one of my astrologer buddies not long ago, and 2008 adds up to 10, which adds up to 1, which is a singular thing. So regardless of what your birthday is, your month and your year and your day, that alone is, this is an encouraged, extra dose of encouragement year to stand up and do things for you on your own. Not to say that you have to exclude or cannot include others' input. It's just a great time to make a decision and move forward. So when you have the spring equinox energy, I would think that that's like a double whammy. This would be a good time of the year to make those decisions and to move forward.
I would agree with that. Start a new project. Make a new commitment. Do some wild and crazy thing that for the past 10 years you've been saying, I should do that sometime.
Someday.
Well, let someday be in 2008. Why not?
Mm-hmm. And if you make that list like a lot of people do it on New Year's Eve, I don't like to make that kind of list. What do they call them?
New Year's resolutions.
Resolution.
Which usually start off with, I will lose 10 pounds. And nobody ever does. No. Don't make New Year's resolution lists. Make... Oh, gee, I had a good word for it a while back, and I can't remember it now. But, no, it's about thinking about what you would like to make happen in your life and then assessing and seeing how possible is this.
Could we call it a wish list? Let's call it
a wish list. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have wish lists tacked on my board, my bulletin
mm-hmm.
board. A la Joe Vitelli. Yeah, the wish list board.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many things will come true off of that board.
Oh, yeah.
To get it there where you can see it every day. And this is a great time. This is a great time of the year to start that new beginnings time.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we need to know historically? What else can we play with?
Oh, goodness me. Well, symbolism of the egg. We've talked about that before, but actually there's two different, I've got two different symbolic lessons with the egg. Now the first one we've talked about before, that the egg is the earth, the membrane of the egg is the air, the yolk is fire, and the white is water. So, therefore, earth, air, fire, water, these are the four elements from which all things come. So the egg in its totality represents all and everything. But there's another way to look at the egg, and that's as a symbol of rebirth. And that's what we're talking about tonight, you know, new beginnings in springtime. Consider a hard-boiled egg. The yolk and the white symbolize the sun hidden in the womb of the white goddess. Cracking the shell symbolizes the cracking of the winter's ice. Peeling the white away from the yolk represents the melting of the snows and freeing the sun. And then by sharing bits of egg with your guests, nibble here, nibble there, etc., etc., we are sharing in the sun's rebirth.
Whoa.
So that's just a whole other bunch of symbolism to put on a plain old hard-boiled egg.
You know, and again, I come back to the American Indian symbols. Somewhere in my college days, I read, and I don't remember what tribe, they firmly believe that the egg, they don't worship the chicken, obviously, but they highly
right.
respect it, even when they eat it, but it's highly respected, because they look at the egg as being the center of the earth and everything having come from the mother egg. That's how we supposedly all became, was from one egg.
Oh, that is lovely.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was really... The story, of course, it's woven together like a beautiful Indian story always is. But that is their ancient belief system. You know, not all tribes believe that. That was one particular
yeah.
tribe. But some believe that the sun, every day the sun, when it comes up, it drops things on earth, like people,
mm-hmm.
plants. As it comes up, it leaves things. And as it goes down, it takes people and animals, plants. A lot of new beginning theories in the American Indian, but I think what you're saying about the egg and that particular tribe system is really right together.
Yeah. And I don't know that much about Native American beliefs. That's not been something I've gone and studied extensively, so this is interesting to hear. Thank you.
You're welcome. The pictures that this particular writer, and it was a woman, created, the imagery that she created with the story. Of course, she's retelling the story, you know, from her childhood, and the imagery was just beautiful because it was not an easy birth. Earth was not an easy birth for the egg.
No. Okay.
Yeah, and they don't look at the egg as being necessarily the same shape. It was like a round ball. The way she described it was in its roundness, but nonetheless an egg. We think of an egg as being that ovally, yeah, shape.
Yeah.
Okay, what else can we share with our world tonight?
Well, we talked about chocolate at the first part of the show. Let's tell people where they can find some really, really, really quality dark chocolate in this town. And the website is www.aychocolate.com. It is a lovely website. Crystal Craig and her compatriot, Lila Brown, have come up with organic dark chocolate. You have to understand, I have never been particularly fond of dark chocolate until I ate Crystal's dark chocolate. It's good.
Oh.
It's really good.
You'll have
and
to bring
not
some
only,
to the fair.
Hmm?
You'll have to bring some to the fair.
I'll talk to Charlotte about that. Crystal's her daughter. Maybe she can make that happen. But what is also nice is that it's not just the chocolate. There are designs that go on the chocolate bark. And if you go to the website, you can look and see some of them. Crystal is not only a really, really good chocolatier, but she's also an excellent design person. And so she has created some really, really pretty patterns that can go on these things. And my absolute favorite is the little chocolate cups with the creamy filling that tastes deliciously orange.
Ooh, that would be one of mine. That and lemon. Does she have lemon? No.
I think there's a lemon in there too somewhere. I'm not sure. But they can do, they can do lots of different flavors. But it's really high quality chocolate. And consider this, if you get yourself some Easter chocolate, then you're pleasing the goddess.
Oh, that was sneaky. Okay. Got to take care of the spring goddess, right?
Yes. Well, I'm not going to stray too far from the topic. I try to not do that.
There's a little bit of goddess in all of us, and I think people are afraid of that word. They get their religions and all of that mixed up with the word goddess, and we really don't need to. Yes, goddesses were worshipped and put on a pedestal, and no, they're not around anymore, but, for fun's sake these days, there's a little god and goddess in all of us that we need to respect and have fun with.
Yes, yes.
Kind of like the kid in all of us.
And I can see this as another way of trying to understand the balance between the masculine and the feminine energies. We've got God and goddess energies within us, and how do you strike the right balance with that? A lot of goddess energy, again, it has to do with progressions, with growth. We've got the maiden, matron, crone trilogy with female energies. We have the gods being born and then they die only to be reborn. It's all about cycles, and it's all about progression, and it's all about growing and learning and developing. And you can learn something new from that bit of goddess energy all the time.
See, you said it much better than I did. Speaking of saying things, folks out there, if you want somebody to hear this show that didn't get to hear it tonight, or if you want it to hear it again, you can go on to bbsradio.com and find their archives. And yes, there is a minimal amount of money. You can get a subscription for a year, for 6 months, for a month to month, and then you have access to all of the archives that are available on Station 1, Station 2, and Station 3. I think Station 3 is mostly music, I think. And Station 1 has shows that start typically on the hour, like 8 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And our shows on Station 2 typically start on the 30-minute slot, but some of us obviously start at 5 minutes till. So you can get into the archives and listen to all of these again. And that's, you just go to bbsradio.com and find their archive set up. And just follow the instructions on getting it set up. bbsradio.com, we are the number one worldwide Internet talk radio network, so we've got a lot to offer that's really cool. The worldwide number for this particular show to call in and visit with Kate and I tonight is 877-489-6350. If you live in the United States and Canada, the number that you will call is 1-888-228-4494. Kate Brown is with us again. We're talking about the equinox, the spring equinox. We'll have her back in the fall and talk about how the earth shuts down in the fall. Is that a correct way to put that? The earth shuts down in the fall?
Well, I wouldn't say shut down. I would say more like hibernate.
Good word. I like that.
And anyway, between now and the fall equinox, we have the summer solstice.
That's right. What is that?
June, just a minute. I've got Llewellyn's calendar right here. That's what keeps me in sync. Summer solstice is June the 20th, which means we will talk about it on June the 18th.
See, folks, she'll be back June the 18th to talk about
and
another earth-changing.
And June the 18th is a full moon.
Oh, I love full moon.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel them the way a lot of people do? Some months I don't, and others I don't even know what happened. But some it's just like,
Well, since I want to recharge my prosperity oil, I'm trying to keep track of the full moons more now. So I've got a nice desk calendar, and I will mark on it, full moon.
Take that sucker outside.
Yes, yes. And, you know, you open the jar, you point it to the moon, you spontaneously create rhymes. I'm not sure exactly why speaking in rhyme is supposed to make whatever spells you do be more efficient, but that's the custom, so I make rhymes.
That is something I've never been able to do, is do any kind of rhyming or poetry. If I do, it's totally by accident. So I really appreciate people who can do that. I'd never make a hip-hopper.
Well, I've said for years, I'm not much good at poetry, but I can do pretty good doggerel verse.
Speaking of verses. Come on, folks, call in. We'd love to have at least one phone call tonight. This would be fun. Gave you the numbers a few minutes ago. Let me give you Kate's number again. Area code 512 454 2293 is where you can find her to make private appointments or to visit with her, learn from her if she'll take you on as a student. She teaches at the University of Texas informal classes. She's got another set going in April, just in April, the month of April.
The first three Wednesdays in April, that's April the 2nd, the 9th, and the 16th, they usually schedule me for about one class a quarter, and they've sent me the information about the fall session, and I don't remember what dates that is. I did say yes to them. Did I put them on this calendar? No, I didn't.
Uh-oh.
It's in my filing cabinet.
Somewhere. Well, we'll be back to talk about that before then. You're going to be back on in June, so.
Yes.
To talk about the summer solstice, so we can catch up with your schedule then. But your new website, tarotbykateinaustin.com, will have your schedule, your fair schedule and whatever else
oh,
you
yes.
have to on it.
Yes. So what that website definitely shows is when the metaphysical fairs are happening, you know, the big public events like that I do, my schedule at Ancient Mysteries, anytime I'm going to be out available to the public for readings, it's going to be posted on the website. I just don't post stuff until it is confirmed.
That's good. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com with Kate Brown this evening. You can find me at my website, ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. Easy, ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. That's ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. Ireland, just like the country, and yes, I did celebrate St. Paddy's Day. Psychic.com. My number is 512-922-4723. That number is on the site. I do a chat show, too. You're going to have to come join the chat room some night on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. Come just play on my chat room. You go in on the site, and you click the chat room little sentence down there, and it takes you to the chat room, and you sign in. You can use any name you want to, and it's just kind of open talk, open discussion, any kind of questions. And we talk about things. Sometimes we have two people on the chat room. Sometimes we have 12. Sometimes nobody joins me but one.
I will keep that in mind. And perhaps some Tuesday night, I won't have 10 other things that need to be done.
Right. And the folks out there worldwide. And remember, this, when I say worldwide, I mean we are worldwide. People in Japan could be listening to us right now. People anywhere that can legally listen to us could be attached right now. We truly go global for spirit at 7:55 on bbsradio.com on Wednesday night. And we have fun. And this evening we have had Kate Brown with us. So she's been sharing her equinox vernal. I love the realization about that word. Thank you very much.
Oh, you are very welcome.
You know, how old am I? 60-something, and it never struck me before tonight. That's pretty bad.
Well, many long years ago, when I was in college the first time around, and we sang, among other things, Summer is a-Comin' In. And that is a very, very, very old folk song. We're talking like 12th century, something like that.
Oh,
and
wow.
one of the lines in that song is Bullock starteth, buck to verteth, V-E-R-T-E-H. And you go look up verteth in a dictionary, and it's springing.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, springing. And so what it really says is, here comes summer, and the bulls and the oxen, they're noticing it, and they're getting a little jumpy, and you see the deer leaping, springing, here and there, and it's the same root. Vert, verde, verdant, vernal, green, spring, leap, that sort of thing.
That's why we leap forward.
Oh, don't get me on that. I do not like daylight savings time.
I do.
It takes me a week to readjust, and I don't like it.
I like it. I like it after it's adjusted. Put it that way. It's fun. I like daylight. I'm a night owl, and that's terrible. You would think I would sleep all day, but I don't. I stay up, and I stay up. Sleep very little. That happens with old age, by the way.
I have a colony of doves that nest in a magnolia tree in my front yard. And I wake up to the doves cooing.
Oh, how nice.
And they go by the sun. So daylight savings time comes in, and the doves get thrown off, and I get thrown off, and I go around muttering, nothing was broke. Why did they fix it?
That's a good idea. Yeah, bro, whose bright idea was this anyway, to change daylight time?
Well,
somebody told me once before, and
I think it started back in World War II when so much energy had to be used for arms production, and somebody figured out if you changed the time, then people would still be able to come home from work and mow the yard and play with their kids, and they wouldn't have to use so much electricity, and all that electricity could go to the munitions plant.
Are you serious? That's not what I heard, but it makes sense.
And then it sort of got to be a habit, except in Arizona. And I don't know why it's happening now, and I don't know why whoever decided that it should start earlier and go later, because it's not making one bit of difference in how much people turn on lights or use their air conditioners.
But it's
I don't understand.
And yet... It is part of the spring equinox stuff. It's all wrapped up.
Yes,
in
it is, and I'm just going to be a grumpy old crone, and be uncomfortable with daylight savings time. It doesn't matter that I won't deal with it. It doesn't mean that I can't cope. It just means there's this one week out of the year when I'm grumpy.
When you're grumpy, okay. What else would you like to share with us? We have about 1 minute to share something. And then Sweet Seth is going to whisper in my ear, and I'll have to go away. So what else would you like to share with us before we have to say goodnight?
Stay balanced. Enjoy your garden. Plant a seed.
Oh, I like that. Enjoy your garden. Plant a seed. Stay balanced.
Yes.
That's a nice thought to leave with everybody. Thank you, Kate, for being with us. We'll look forward to talking about the solstice in June, the summer solstice. June the 18th. Put it on your calendar, folks. Remember, you can archive this show so you can hear this one again, or you can refer it to a friend if you'd like to. Kate Brown, we'll see you at the Psychic Fair in Austin the weekend of April the 12th and 13th at the Radisson
Hotel.
Yes, indeed. You can call to make appointments ahead of time, folks.
Yes, you can.
So, yes, you can. Thank you, Kate. Don't forget, folks, to share a smile with somebody this week. See you next week. Thanks again. Good night.
Good night.